Welcome to the Portage County Safety Council podcast. We hope you enjoy today's featured message.
My name is Dave Draca with Johnson Controls. Those of you not familiar with Johnson Controls, we're a global multi-industrial company. We specialize in building systems, specifically HVAC, security, and fire. For the last 20-some years, Johnson Controls has been the global leader in complex security. Okay, so we take care of things like Goodyear Global, stadiums, Pentagon, military facilities. With the merger and purchase of Tyco Integrated Security and Simplex Grinnell a couple years ago, we now have the ability to take care of anything from your local gas station or your local schools all the way on up through the big boys. So that's kind of what we do. So good question, right? Who in the world makes important business decisions based solely on what a vendor tells you? Show of hands. Nobody's going to admit to it? Very good. Who here's got a security system in their building? Who here actually designed it themselves versus having Billy Joe Bob bait tackle and burglar alarm come in and tell you what to do? Okay. You made that decision maybe without as much input as you need to do. And the reason we do that is because a lot of us don't understand what we should be looking for when we design security or design, well, safety, you know, but picking a vendor to do it, right? So we need to look, first of all, first thing we need to do is decide what we need to protect. Life and limb, visitors, anybody who's on your property is your responsibility. There's case law out there for negligent security that states if you're not providing adequate security, you can potentially be sued and held to a civil litigation on that. So that's always your number one. Irreplaceable distance documents. We've all got them. There are trade secrets, our company programs, our research, our development. Any HR people here in the room? Probably a whole bunch, right? Do you still have written records sitting around with employee information, applications? Burglars love to steal those. Why? Absolutely. I don't have to steal a single identity. You have a whole pack of information sitting in this drawer. Files with everybody's name, social security number, and date of birth. Hey, I don't need anything else from your building. I can get on, sell that on the dark web, and have a lot of money in my pocket in a couple hours. Again, courts have held, and there are court cases, and law has been established that if that's taken and they sue you, you're probably going to be held liable for that. Your assets. This is where everybody thinks of, right? Coming in, stealing our finished product, our raw goods. Okay. If you're retail, certainly you have to worry about somebody coming in, sticking a gun in your face, robbery. Another thing we have to watch out for, our routine business documents. Certainly not as important as the other ones, but things that could cause us a lot of grief if that's gone. And then we have to all consider business continuity. How many of you in your building have an IDF or an MDF somewhere where your computers are housed? Okay. Everybody's got computers. Are they secure? I took my son to the ortho a couple days ago. Big orthodontist office. They have the computer that runs their entire practice sitting on the floor around the corner just inside off their lobby, unprotected. All their records are on there. If I broke in there tonight and took off with that computer, their business is down. Their patient records, everything's on there. Hopefully, it's not something that I can easily get into because then they've got some HIPAA issues, don't they? But that's something that we've got to worry about protecting these days. 10, 15 years ago, we didn't think about your computers and your IT as critical infrastructure, but it is now. I've got one particular organization I deal with. They've got an MDF and 15 IDFs around their facility. If you were to go into one of these IDFs with a pair of wire cutters, 30 seconds, you could do enough to take them down on game day. That'll give you a hint of what kind of facility it might be. Costing them millions of dollars. And so it's something that has to be protected, whether you're big, whether you're small. Business continuity is something that costs you a fortune if you're not paying attention to it, right? We're thinking about what we should protect. What do we need to protect it from? Again, we always think burglars and robbers. We got some of that, right? External crime, our vandalism, our theft, somebody coming in, stealing something. What about workplace violence? Okay. We all hear about it and we see it on the news and we've probably had some speakers in it and I'm sure BWC's addressed it for you a few times as well. So you've got the external, somebody mugging one of your employees in a parking lot, things like that. You've got your three types of internal, okay? Client on worker. Anyone here, healthcare facility of any type? No? That's where the biggest problem is, okay? You have nurses, have problems with nurses being assaulted. It's a problem. You go to a hospital, almost any hospital, whether it's a small little hospital in the country or a big one in the metro areas, that's a serious problem. Nurses and doctors being assaulted by patients because I came in and we live in a McDonald's society, right? We want everything our way and we We want it yesterday. We want it now. People come in. I got a boo-boo on my finger. I want to be seen. Have a seat. Somebody comes in 10 minutes later having heart problems, chest pains. They take them back first. I'm going to go complain, and I'm going to be in a bad mood because I didn't get taken care of first. You're thinking, are there people that really think that? Sure are, right? We deal with them. So you've got client on worker, client on employee. The one we hear about the most, obviously, employee on employee, workplace shootings. We all hear about workplace shootings, okay? Has anyone done any ALICE training? Great. A lot of times you can contact outside companies or talk to your local police department. Some of them have community relations officers who will work with you on things you can do for responses for those. A lot of the schools do. What we don't hear about a lot of times is the everyday stuff, the bullying, the harassment, the physical altercations that occur in a workplace. You're responsible for those, okay? There are a whole lot of companies out there who have paid out a whole lot of money, hush money, to employees who have been assaulted in their workplace. Hey, you know what? Here's the settlement from our attorney. You don't say anything and don't call the police. We'll just take care of it internally. It happens every day. But you got to protect against that. Type 4, domestic violence in the workplace. Every year, American Society of Industrial Security interviews the security charges for the Fortune 500 companies in the United States. Hey guys, Mr. Chief Security Officer, Mr. Security Director of big company, what are your main concerns? So for a long time, IT security breaches, that's our big concern. It got taken over by domestic violence coming to the workplace. Think about it. Ward and Jude get in a fight. Ward slaps her around. She waits till he goes to work, grabs Wally and the Beeve, and she moves out. Doesn't tell him where she went, doesn't give her a phone number, changes her cell number, but you know, he knows where she works 40 hours a week, and it's coming to the workplaces. As a police officer, I actually dealt with that several times. The officer in the room's probably seen it as well. Something else we have to consider as a risk, a high risk, against one of our top, most important assets, people. Internal theft, physical, intellectual assets. Anyone here ever experienced employee theft? We don't consider it, but you know, it's usually Mabel, the one who's been there for 40 years and knows everything, because she's the one you're least likely to expect. We actually had one of our employees who stole over $90,000 from his kid's lacrosse league. Nicest guy in the world. You'd never expected it until the police walked in our office with a warrant for his arrest. Obviously doesn't work for Johnson Controls anymore. Employee sabotage, substance abuse. There's companies in this room, I guarantee you, have dealt with employee sabotage. Something that you have to worry about. I've got a potential client that we dealt with several years ago. They make a specific part that is in high demand in their industry. They've got 8 or 9 manufacturing facilities across the globe. They only manufacture this particular part here in a plant on the east side of Cleveland. And when I went in, I talked to them, I said, you know, you've got no cameras, no access control to keep people out of the operation room for this big manufacturing operation. Anybody can walk in or out. Hell, I can come in off the street in East Cleveland, walk in their back door during the summer when they've got it open up for ventilation and damage this machine if I want. How much is it going to cost you guys if this machine goes down for an hour, 2 hours, 2 days? Oh, tens of thousands of dollars an hour we'd lose. We run this thing 24/7 except for maintenance cycle once a week. They refused to spend the money to secure this area. A few months later, they decided they were getting rid of a maintenance man who had an accident in their maintenance shop, came back. Apparently he knew he had a dirty P test because he cleaned out his locker, went over there, being the maintenance guy who took care of this machine, knew exactly what to do, screwed this machine up good enough to keep it down for, it was like 7 or 8 shifts. He knew he was being fired anyways. They didn't take any precautions, and it cost them a fortune. They didn't think about that. Employee sabotage, business continuity. Substance abuse, okay? We all deal with that in our workplaces. Something that you have to consider. Yes, sure, it's a safety concern, okay? But when the guy who's on the tow motor, who's using substances, that's definitely a safety concern. But when he's now hooked on heroin, which is taken the entire nation, Northeast Ohio in particular, very bad lately, and he needs the money, you're going to see stuff start disappearing out of other employees' lockers. You're going to see some of your own assets missing, right? And then we got our associated risk that we have to deal with. Regulatory, FAA, CTPAT, things that if you aren't in following those regulations, then they're going to shut you down at the federal government level. So all kinds of things we have to worry about as to what risk we need to consider with our businesses. And keep in mind, folks, this isn't just the big business, okay? If you're a small business and it's just you, but you've got technology or assets or any type of intellectual property, you need to consider what type of risk that you need to deal with, all right? So we take our asset, we take our risk, and we kind of combine those into a scenario, right? Here's what we're worried about. Here's what we need to protect. What could possibly happen to it? sit down, brainstorm. What could potentially go wrong? What could be a threat to this particular asset? Whether that's your employees, whether it's intellectual property, whether you're thinking, gee, you know, if this happened over here, that cost us tens of thousands of dollars a day in lost production. Wow, let's write that down. What could potentially happen to it? What are the risks? What could happen to be detrimental to our company? You sit down, you write those down. And you know, this isn't anything new. We've all done it. We've done it from a small age. Whether you're a little kid stealing a cookie, right? Or you're a little bit older, you're going to try to skip school. What's the risk of, can I get away with it? Will I get caught? What's the consequence if I get caught? Okay? When we do it, when we get older. My buddy just showed up at my property with a bag of questionably obtained military CS&CN tear gas canisters. Let's run around the woods and have a tear gas fight. Not that I know anybody that did that. You got to wonder, what are the risks? So, now what? What do we do? We've written down our risk. We've identified what assets we want to protect at our company, within our business, within our building, even at our house. What do we do? We call Billy Joe Bob, bait, tackle, and burglar alarm. And we let them tell us how to design the security based on, well, this is how we always do it. The security for your business, the security for your premises needs to be designed with an idea towards what you want to protect and how important each one of those items is to you and how you have to protect it. Not, well, we're going to put in a burglar alarm. Okay, we're a 24/7 operation. What do we need a burglar alarm for? I've actually seen that more than you would believe. Places that never close, 24/7 operations with burglar alarms. Why? I don't know. Somebody decided they needed security, so they called Billy Joe Bob, and that's what he put in. Okay, so we need to assess the risk in each of our scenarios. Risk, again, it's really not much different than financial risk or business risk. The threat, how likely is it that someone will attempt it? The vulnerability, how likely is it that they are going to be successful in light of our current situation? Current situation. You can't say, yeah, it sure would be easy for somebody to break in here or walk in right off the street and grab a whole bunch of our product or assault one of our employees, but we're going to get some security in here eventually. Or usually that door's locked, but not always. That doesn't do you any good because it's that one day that door's not locked that you're going to have that issue. And the consequence, how will it damage us? What's it going to do to my business? What's it going to do to our continuity if this actually does happen? Got to think about these things. So it's pretty simple actually to put this into a risk matrix and just do it mathematically. It's not something that you have to call some high-level security expert in unless you're a really large, complex organization. You can do this yourself. You can say, hey, this particular issue, this is how likely it is to happen. It might happen, it might not happen. We can actually rate it. Same thing with our vulnerability. If somebody were going to try to do this, how successful are they going to be? And then what's the consequence to our organization? And you can use this to determine the risk around those risk scenarios you've created and use that as a guide to not only determine what you need to protect and how much, but what amount of your business's assets should be put towards this. You're a small business, you're an insurance agent, there's really nothing to steal. You're in a good area, you've only got a couple of employees, all right? They're older, they're married, they're not young folks in tumultuous situations where you could have to worry about domestic violence. Your risks are extremely low. Why spend a whole bunch of money on security? Versus another one of my clients that I've got who has research facilities all over the globe. They called me earlier this year and said, we're putting in a new research facility. We need a new secret squirrel, which is kind of what we call our research facilities for them. They're putting it in China, about 50 miles from the Korean border. Why? I don't know. But it's a super secret research facility. Why they put it there, I don't know. But the amount of risk you have to imagine we had to deal with to secure that particular facility, you know, we're close to $500,000 to secure a facility. It's really not much bigger than this room. Versus this particular building, you certainly don't need that. Okay? So we take those values, we add them together, and we can use that to determine where we should spend our money. All right? So let's take a typical workplace scenario. Let's say you're a call center. Lord knows there's lots of call centers out there, right? Anybody on the do not call list still get lots of call center calls? Sometimes I just set the phone down and let them talk for as long as they'll go and then hang up. All right, so let's take a look at our threat, our vulnerability. How would we assess our risk on this to determine, is it a waste of our time to put money into securing this? Should we put money into it? If so, how much? What should we do? Okay, so let's look at our threat. How likely is it that we're going to have some type of type 4 domestic violence in our workplace? Well, we got 200 mostly female employees, average age 20 to 35. You know what that means? They're dating or married to men, age 20 to 35. The highest crime group in America is males, age 20 to 35. Not rich, not poor, not black, not white. Males, age 20 to 35. Now you got two shifts. They're coming in at 7 in the morning. You got a big shift change in the middle of the afternoon, and they're leaving well after dark, walking out into your parking lot. Okay, so what's our threat, our chances that we could have some type of incident? Let's call it fair. In fact, if you go to a hospital right now, anyone here ever worked in HR or security in a hospital? Your typical hospital, depending on their size, will have at least 10, sometimes upwards of 100 domestic violence issues going where somebody's gone to human resources and or security and said, this is a picture of my boyfriend, husband, ex-husband, whatever. He's threatened me. I have a restraining order. And you got to be on the lookout for him. That is the number one headache for hospitals right now when it comes to protecting their employees. So you figure you've got this call center with basically the same type of population. Okay? You got to be watching for it. Let's say our vulnerability. Let's say our building, we've got no access control. You can just walk right on in. A lot of big buildings, unfortunately, have not secured. Post 9/11, still not secured. Anybody can walk right into them, which absolutely blows me away. Or their access control consists of a security guard sitting there staring at his phone or maybe sleeping, right? Not paying any attention. Poor lighting in their parking lot. Poor lighting invites crime. Really, truly does, okay? And you got an old security system. Maybe it doesn't even work. You'd be amazed how many times you see a security camera. I bet you 20 to 30% of security cameras you encounter when you're out and about in public don't work. Or they're connected to some system, and the system doesn't work. It's not recording properly. Or nobody even knows where it's housed, how to operate it. So what's our consequences? Injury to people, lost time, productivity. How much does it cost to train a new employee? Good bit once you get good employees, right? Here's what happens when you've got domestic violence or any other type of workplace violence issue. First of all, you got somebody who's hurt, right? Secondly, your workplace goes all higgly-piggly. People are worried about coming to work. They're not looking at their computer. They're not doing their task. They're thinking about what happened yesterday out in the parking lot or, God forbid, inside your building. And they quit. When they get nervous and they don't feel that they're secure in their workplace, they quit. HR people, who usually quits? The good employees are the ones you wish you would get rid of. The good ones, right? Because they know they can get a job somewhere else. So you're stuck with all your bad employees. Meanwhile, you lost your good employees and you've got to retrain and rehire because you had an incident in your workplace. And we're not just talking shootings, folks. It could be as simple as a guy comes in and knocks his girlfriend around a little bit in front of everybody. That's enough for you to lose good employees. Does anybody know what the average cost to a business is of a non-lethal workplace violence incident in the United States? $50,000? A couple years ago, it was $800,000. Now, keep in mind, we're not talking just small businesses. We're talking the entire range of businesses throughout the country. But that's what you get, okay? Lost employees. If you're a big business, a large company where there is an expectation that a company of your size with your resources should have been protecting everybody, you're going to be meeting one of those guys from Elk and Elk, right? The one with the bad comb over or the one in the wheelchair. Somebody's going to be coming knocking on your door with a subpoena, and you're going to be getting sued civilly. You know what? There's a good chance they're going to win. Very good chance they're going to win. And then, of course, the publicity, especially if you're a retail facility or somewhere that's open to the public and there's something like this, whether it's a shooting or a beating or just a couple of people getting beat in the parking lot, you think that's going to affect your business? Heck yeah. All right, so we do our math. We take our threat, our vulnerability, consequence, we add it together, we divide, we realize, boy, you know what, our risk on this is kind of high. Is that an acceptable risk level for us? Who here wants to accept high risk to their business, right? Nobody, really. And we got different ways that we deal with risk, right? Fire, that's a risk that we transfer through insurance, right? You can't really transfer this through insurance. So we start to look for ways that we can change these numbers, okay? So let's say we're concerned about domestic violence coming into our workplace. Our threat, the likelihood of somebody coming in and doing this. How do we lower that number? How do we reduce the likelihood that somebody's going to try to do that. Preventative measures, okay? Very obvious signage. It says, hey, place is under video surveillance, right? Clean, clear-cut property division. Something called SEPTED, Crime Prevention Through Environmental Design. Businesses where you keep your lawn mowed nice and neat and everything's clean and well-lit and well-landscaped tend to have much fewer crime problems than the ones that are run down. Okay, so any landscapers in the room, I just made some business for you, right? It's important that it looks that way. Think about it yourself. Driving down the street, old beat up run down property, nice, neat, clean property. Which one of those businesses do you think is more likely to be prepared and at the ready? Okay, it's no different than watching people, okay, walking around like this or up paying attention. Which one are you going to be looking for to make a crime victim out of? Okay, so there's ways we can alter that. Our vulnerability. That's where we usually drop the ball, folks. That's where we usually drop the ball. How likely is it that they will be successful? We can't always control those things, okay? Just like school shootings. They're black swan incidents, okay? It's some of these kids, they say, hey, you know what? We knew there was something wrong. We should have said something. And a lot of times, there have been a lot of school shootings that have been averted because somebody's gone to principal and the principal's called the police and they've gotten involved. But a lot of times, there's no rhyme or reason to a school shooting or a workplace shooting. It just happens. There's nothing you can do about the threat because you had no idea and no way to know where it was coming from or when. But we had to look at our vulnerability, okay? Let's look at our call center we were talking about. How do we keep people out? Simple things, fencing off the parking lot, putting in gates that require access control cards to get in, okay? Very blatantly obvious big cameras all over the place. Signage says you are being recorded. You get to the door, you can't get in that door without a key card. And you got another one somewhere inside to get into the various departments. Now we've stopped people who don't really belong there from getting into our building and just wandering around to create mayhem. We've also given ourselves some other tools, right? So when we've got employee theft, or we've got an employee who's, we think they're not actually clocking in, they got their buddy clocking in for them. Well, how in the world did you clock in at 8 o'clock this morning when the access control system says you showed up at 10:45. Okay, so a lot of different investigative tools that we can also use as part of it. But when it comes to security, the first thing everybody thinks of is cameras, cameras, cameras. They're nice, but access control, folks. Something that lets the people you want in, and keeps the people you want to keep out. And if you're open to the public, you still need somewhere inside where the public can get to a certain place, but they don't need to get into your other areas. Especially your IDFs or anywhere there's computers. Especially if you're healthcare and you got HIPAA compliance, you don't need people wandering around. And then our consequences. How do we reduce our consequences? You know, the sad fact with the school shootings is most of the steps we take are associated with consequences because that's almost all we got left to deal with trying to avoid these. The sad thing is when it comes to school shootings, we're doing everything we can to lower the body count by responding as fast as possible. Okay, law enforcement, when I first started, school shooting, we form a perimeter, we wait for the SWAT team, or we wait till there's enough guys to go in. Got an officer here from, is it Aurora? School shooting, what's the policy today? First one in gets there, right? Faces threat. Law enforcement had to change their response on that. We as businesses have to be able to change our response. 20 years ago, did anybody here think that you'd be doing Alice training? Or sitting, there's a great video, it was put out by City of Houston. Run, hide, fight. If you haven't watched it, watch it. Okay, things we wouldn't have thought about before. Again, lowering that risk. We've got physical security. Okay, we're familiar with a lot of these things. Doors and windows, locks. It doesn't have to be high tech, folks. If you're a small business, you probably don't need a lot of this high-end stuff, but basic locks, windows, fencing, lighting, folks. Anything that's crime prevention through environmental design, that can help cut your issues, especially with your external crime. Your security technology. Again, access control is where you start. I deal with a lot of companies. They come to us and say, hey, we need to add or upgrade security. We want cameras. Okay, what kind of access control system do you have? Oh, we don't have one. You're kind of trying to lock the gate after the horse gets out here. That video is fantastic for saying, okay, this is what happened. Why not lock the doors and keep people out to begin with who don't belong in certain areas? Okay, intrusion, your typical burglar alarm. One thing that we always suggest to any company that's got a lobby or an open area and you've got a lot of people coming in off the street for, you know, whether they're customers, clients, whatever, hook onto your burglar alarm system a panic button so that if there's an issue, okay, they don't have to say, I'm sorry, I know you're really mad and you're threatening me. Can you wait one minute while I call 911 here? They're probably not going to allow it. Having that panic button under the desk is fantastic. A lot of bigger companies, especially the ones with high turnover and a lot of temps, we got panic buttons in every single office at Human Resources because who has to do the hiring and who has to do the firing? Who has to do all of the employee discipline? HR. And they're the ones that get to deal with these folks. All right. So we've got panic buttons there too. And again, officer, what are you more likely to respond to in a quick nature? That burglar alarm call at 2 a.m. or the panic button? Panic buttons, right? Because we know there's a person in need when that panic button goes out. Cops are going to run over each other to be the first one there to help you, okay? And then policy and procedure. You need to have a culture of security. Once you've gone through and identified your risk and decided where you need to go with protecting your assets and your individuals, you need to have policy and procedure. It doesn't do any good to have locks on your doors if your employees are propping them open, right? Doesn't do any good to have a burglar alarm if nobody ever sets it. It certainly doesn't do you any good to have an access control system when employees will hold the door open for anybody and everybody who walks up behind them, okay? So we have to have a culture of security. We need to have that in a written policy. The HR folks in the room, you know, it has to be enforceable, it has to be enforced, and it has to be done across the board, right? We can't say, well, managers don't have to do this, but everybody else does. It has to be an overall culture of security starting at the top. Same way, really, is everyone in here is here for the safety council. Seems like your safety culture starts at the top. Your security culture has to start at the top too. If I see the boss and the leaders and the managers being lax about something, well, if they don't have to do it, neither do I, right? They let anybody walk through that door. They prop doors open. I had that argument at our own facility here when I first started a few years ago. Our front door, we're not in the greatest area. We're right on the border of Garfield Heights there. We got a lot of panhandlers coming in and trash hounds trying to, you know, go through our trash looking for scrap to sell. Our front door is secure. Can't get in without access control. There's an intercom. Buzz in. If Jennifer doesn't know who you are, you're not getting in the door as a visitor. Walk around back. Our garage door is wide open. There's nobody in the bay. And the fenced area where we keep all the very valuable technology wasn't locked. What good does it do to have the front door locked, right? So you've got to make sure that you've got a culture of safety, that you got those policies and procedures put in place and that everybody follows them. These areas, again, they all mix together. They really, truly do. Having the physical security and the technology doesn't do you any good without policy and procedure. Policy and procedure doesn't do you any good if there's no good working locks or an access control system or video system or anything that you've decided you really need to invest in after you've done the risk assessment on your facility. Please, folks, do not install fake cameras. Yes, I know they sell them. They sell them at Grainger. They sell them at Lowe's. They sell them at Home Depot. They sell them at Walmart. You can buy fake security cameras all over the place. You can probably get on Amazon and find 500 different models right now. Don't use them. Yes. Just because they make them doesn't mean it's a good idea. They make Speedo swimsuits in my size. That doesn't mean it's a good idea, right? Nobody wants to see that, okay? Because this is who you're gonna see. This is who you're gonna meet up with. It's called negligent security. Grab your phone, Google, negligent security attorney Cleveland. You'll get over 6,000 hits. Personal claims, personal injury attorneys love fake cameras. They love that because you're providing a false sense of security. The first case law that came out on this dates back over a decade now. It was Home Depot had a bunch of fake cameras up at one of their stores. Woman was assaulted and severely beaten in the parking lot. Made a police report, police investigated. They went into Home Depot and said, hey, we need your video. And they said, well, those are fake cameras. So the police said, fake cameras, sorry, there's no video. This woman got an attorney and sued the snot out of Home Depot. Okay, she probably lives in a Home Depot now. It's happened to several hotels as well. Hotel chains are notorious for skimping on security. Yeah, the little door things are nice and secure. They're doing a very good job at securing your room. General premises, not so much. You'll find doors propped open so that people who aren't guests there can wander around. You'll find cameras that aren't working or, again, fake cameras. Please do not put those up at your business. If you've got them, either replace it with a real camera or take it down. So we don't want to be providing a false sense of security. So we're almost done here, because I know you're probably all getting a little bit bored with this. A risk assessment should be an ongoing, maintain a schedule on it. It's just like anything else in your business. How many people are following the same business plan that you were 10 years ago, last year, 6 months ago? It's got to be dynamic, because if we don't grow and change and keep up with it, our business dies. Putting in that security system and saying, okay, we're going to address these particular issues within our organization. Maybe a year from now, your organization's changed. Maybe you've gone from working 2 5-day-a-week shifts to 3, or you're super busy, you're working 7 days a week right now, and you got 5 times more employees, or you've added temporary employees into your workplace. There's a nightmare from a security standpoint, okay? I hear some snickering, so somebody's been through that. Evaluate it every once in a while. Get some people within your company. Depending on the size of your company, it might be just you, or it might be 2 or 3 other people, or you might get 4 or 5 people. Put together just an employee and management security group who can sit down and brainstorm things, put it on a schedule. Do that every 6 months, every year, every 2 years. Or if you're really small, just do it when you have a significant change in your business and the way you operate. Maintain those systems. Any IT folks in here? No? No IT folks? Okay. How about people who don't know what a software support agreement is? Maintain the software support agreements. There's nothing worse than putting a whole bunch of money into a good video or access control platform. You get that? And they're all software driven. This isn't the old days where everything's going back to electronic panels. It's all software driven. That software gets updated with service packs on a constant basis, because there are people out there trying to hack into these systems. Plus, they find out bugs that are in their systems. It'd be like buying Windows and never updating it. Make sure you maintain those software support agreements so that those systems that you're investing in are actually going to work when you need them to work. Update and communicate your policies and procedures. Plenty of HR folks in here, you already know that. If we don't change our policies when necessary, and we don't communicate those changes, or we just don't bring the policy up every once in a while. We do safety training all the time, right? A lot of us do safety training on a constant basis. The gentleman that we had talking from Ving, right? Ongoing safety training. Excellent idea. Don't be afraid to do that with security in your workplace. Don't forget to remind people every once in a while, hey, these are the policies, this is the procedures. That back door keeps getting left open. It keeps getting blocked open, and we're not in a good neighborhood. And there's usually nobody back there. We really don't want the secretary walking back there to grab some paper that came in on the UPS truck for the vending or for the copy machine and getting whacked over the head or something, or worse. And install and maintain a culture of security. Don't be afraid to pull up one of these videos like Run, Hide, Fight. Sit your employees down and say, hey, you know what? The chances of a workplace shooting here are extremely, extremely low, but it's something that can't be predicted. And if it does occur, the consequences are horrendous. So let's all just sit down, watch this video, and come up with a plan on what we would do, okay, where our exits are. First thing I did when I walked in this building today was identified all the exits. I walked up and checked the thickness of the tables. Something would stop a bullet if I flipped it up. They're plastic, they won't, okay? I'm a little bit nuts on that kind of stuff, though. But don't be afraid to go through your business, talk to your employees with the what ifs after you've determined them. I've bored you long enough here. Any questions? Yes, sir. You mean by what businesses don't ask?
Yeah.
Okay.
What they're forgetting about.
Right there. Okay. The businesses, you're going and saying, hey, I need security. Well, okay, here's our parts list quote. They're selling you pieces parts. Don't be afraid to say, you know what? This is what I want. This is what we need. Okay. When they tell you, well, we're going to put cameras here, here, and here, and here. Why? What are we looking at with that camera? Sticking up a camera just to stick up a camera is a waste of money. Okay. When somebody tells me I want a camera over there, I ask them why. We just thought it'd be a good idea. That happens more often than not. We just thought it'd be a good idea. What risk are we trying to mitigate? Your lobby, your entrance points. There's where you put your cameras. Your parking lot. If you've got a high traffic area in your warehouse with tow motors and individuals, okay, there's a great place to throw in another security camera. Not so much for security, but for recording safety accidents, right? So when that issue happens and somebody gets hurt and BWC comes knocking on your door and wants to investigate, you can say, hey, here's what happened. Be upfront with them. So the most unasked questions are probably questions that they just don't get asked to begin with. Don't be afraid to take charge of the security of your premises. Okay. Whether you've got your small local burglar alarm company coming in, or you got Johnson Controls coming in, it's not my business. It's your business. It's not my building. It's not my employees. They're yours. You own that, and you have the right to have some input as to how the security in your facility is set up. Don't let somebody just come in and tell you how it's going to be. Any other questions? Absolutely. How much is it going to cost? Right. Absolutely. So how much is it going to cost? That's another aspect of going through a risk assessment. Okay. Maybe you sit down and you say, hey, these are the assets I need to protect in my building. These are the risks we're facing. Hey, this is how likely it's going to happen. This is how likely it is that somebody succeed. These are the consequences. Wow, you know what? Our risks are really low. Well, if our risks are really low, maybe we don't need to spend a whole lot of money on security. Maybe all we really need is a basic burglar alarm and some good locks and some good sound doors. Or maybe we realize we've got other risks that can be better identified and better addressed with access control or policies and procedures. Policies and procedures cost you very little, but they can go real far. Hey, when you come in, make sure that door is closed behind you. If you see somebody in the parking lot who doesn't work here, let management know. Simple things like that can go a long way, and they don't cost a whole lot of money. So how you allocate your money and how much you spend, running your business through a little risk assessment can help you answer those questions. Anything else? Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Badge in and badge out. So it depends on the type of facility you've got. How often, do people come in and out on a regular basis, or are they hourly on a shift? In and out. Okay, so a great way to address that, there's several of them. Number one, policy and procedure and training, right? That helps, but it doesn't guarantee they're going to follow it. Two other options are turnstile, where there's no way to tailgate through it. I hit it, I get through, but there's only room one person in that turnstile. The next person has to use their badge to get in. Badge in, badge out is also very good if you are worried about mustering, where people are, who's left in the building in an emergency, okay? A lot of our clients, we've got right on their phones, their security and safety people can pull it up and watch who's left in the building during a fire alarm. And during their fire drills, they'll actually have a couple people will get picked by management and told stay in the building, see if security can figure out that you're still in there as part of the mustering. So when the fire department comes, they can say there's three people still in there. Badge in, badge out. Another real easy way to do it, connect access control to your time and attendance. If I didn't badge in this morning, I just walked in behind him, I didn't get paid. Hit him in the paycheck.
And it's culture.
Yeah, it's a culture issue. If they're salaried, it's a culture issue. It has to be addressed in that manner. It doesn't take much for somebody to slip through. I did an assessment for a company several years back, a large, very large landscaping firm. They had access control to get in the gate. They had a parking lot for their employees, and then there was a gate with a turnstile. It was an old turnstile, didn't work too well. I walked up, and I said, crap, I don't have my card on me. The guy behind me just let me through. Now it's like 6:30 in the morning, it's dark out. I walked in with the rest of the employees, looked around, watched what they were doing, watched them hit the time clock and go out the back door. I kind of followed them out the back door. I'm standing here watching. I'm watching these guys open the trucks, grab the keys from under the mats. So I saw the brand new, beautiful F-150 sitting there with one of their new trailers connected to it. So I walked over, talking to a couple of their guys the whole time, right? Walked over, grabbed the key, and left with it. Called the owner and said, hey, I got that new F-250 you got in the back. He says, yeah. I said, I'm down here at the McDonald's. You want to meet me down here? I've got it. He flipped out. How'd that happen? I said, simple. You've got a turnstile. It's old. It's beat up, but it works. But one of your employees let me through. He had no idea who I was. About a month later, we sent somebody else from our firm in. They almost beat him up in the parking lot because they didn't know who he was. So it's policy, it's procedure, short of, a turnstile or something like that, or some type of repercussions that say, as far as we're concerned, if you didn't badge in and badge out today, you weren't here. That's how you're going to have to attack it. You need management buy-in, right? Anyone else? Okay, looks like we're all ready to wrap up then. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. To learn more about how your company can earn up to a 4% Ohio BWC premium rebate by becoming an active member of the Portage County Safety Council, please visit our website at www.portagecountysafetycouncil.wordpress.com. The preceding information is for entertainment purposes only. Views expressed may not reflect the views of any affiliated or sponsoring individuals or organizations. Listeners should carefully weigh information provided and seek advice from an appropriate professional before implementing. Listener discretion is advised.